Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road. Come on. Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control. Hey. I'm a bad motherfucker, riding through the night. Hey. A 50 motherfucker and I love to fight. Picture me rolling on my chopper on red. No love for the other side, no need to be friends. Hit the gas, homie, you gotta keep on pushing. Got an out, chin, check the dose, and need to ask for the ticket after ticket. Man, I ain't gon' pay. Gotta do 30 days locked up in CJ. Twist the throttle, let's hit the rolling. My drag pipes on my bike, get the blow in. A third motherfucker street calling me. Like I'm on, cause the kids when it's time to eat. Don't approach me, homie, like the shit all good. I'm like half the motherfuckers that live in my hood. I'ma continue rolling to the mold. With 10 in the clip and 1 in the hole. Fuck what you heard, homie, I'ma always hit the ball. My whole voice might rubble, but we never ever fall. At the end of the day, we can always stand tall. The gov don't like me, oh fucking well. I guess you could call me the angel from hell.
As the man said, fuck him.
What's going on?
Not much. I was getting off the freeway. I ran into Bill today, and I'll tell you how I did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the Thursday night edition. Anyway, I got off the freeway, and it's like two city blocks to the next light. About halfway there. Just like a warning light in your car was on, the check engine light. The light came on. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. Stop at the light. Gauges are jumping around, all kinds of shit going on. We get to the shop. Can't see nothing wrong on the outside. So, my friend Steve, Bill comes out, they come out. We start talking. Steve jumps on the bike, takes off, comes back. And the regulator up in the front, as he turns the corner, stops, things just start smoking.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the regulator. So, yeah, $65 later, we're up and running.
Oh, well, that's not too bad, then.
No, the ride home was like, ride it like you stole it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, just a lot of crazy things going on. I wanted to, if you've seen some of the pictures, like the one where I'm sitting on my bike under the flag and I'm wearing that leather jacket.
Yep.
My mom bought me that jacket almost 9 years ago. No, 10 years ago.
Wow.
And, yeah. So I was getting old, kind of ratty. But it was a real nice, comfortable jacket, if you know what I mean. A couple, I'd say, not about the beginning of the month. And I went up to L.A. And I was in the neighborhood of the Espinosa's Leather Shop. Espinosa's Leather Goods in Rosemead, California. And I'm here to tell you, they do fantastic work. Anyway, I get there, I run into Eric first, and I explain to him about the jacket. I explain to him that I'm emotionally attached to this jacket. And
okay.
What can we do to fix it? So basically, he says, take it off. So they ended up a new lining, a new collar, new snaps, fixed the gun pocket, and put zippers on the outside pockets. Because I had explained that I had lost my phone once already.
Right.
And it came in the mail yesterday. And I tell you what, fucker fits like a glove.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Not stiff, nothing. Nice. And they put a little thicker lining in it. That was my summer leather coat, but they put a little thicker lining in it. I mean, basically, for me, summer is all year round out here, so that was my everyday jacket. And, yeah, I think it's awesome.
Nice.
I told them I mentioned it on the show tonight, but, yeah, if anybody wants to contact those guys, I'll put that up in the chat room as soon as I locate this right here real quick. Yeah, this we're running a little slow today on this thing, but basically it's Espinosa's Leather Shop, and it's in Roseland, California. What are you doing?
Getting a popsicle. Sorry.
All right. Well, you can contact the fellas at 626 in the chat room. 263-307-3409. And tell them I sent you. But, yeah, it's Espinosa's Leather Goods. Rosemead, California. The number is 626-307-3049. But I was talking to Bill. Bill's not at the shop on Friday. And there's this thing we have out here. It's called Born Free. And if you ever wanted to see every motorcycle that was ever made anywhere in the world, this is the place to go. I met a friend of mine last week at that diabetes ride, Art Hall from Quick Throttle. Took some pictures, asked questions, interviewed me. But Bill had to leave before he just got to say hi and bye to Bill when he left. So we were talking, and a friend of his, Art, just came back from the Far East, Bangkok, Thailand, Vietnam, made the trip, and this guy came in to go to the Long Beach Swap Meet, which is, if you can't find it there, they don't make it for a motorcycle. So he's coming, he came over specifically for the show, too, and it's all the heavy hitters. It's a no-colors event, so don't show up wearing anything, they won't let you in. 2-day event. Last year, set a record, had 40,000 people for 1 day. This year, it's 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. It's going to be on Santiago Canyon, up there off El Toro, go past Cooks, or you can ride, take 5 up to Santiago Canyon and come in the back way. And if you want to get through the twisties, that's the way you want to go. But usually at Cooks, they're parked out there in full force with the radar guns. And everybody likes to go down that one stretch. But, yeah, it's going to be a good weekend. Then we got depending on his schedule, my schedule, if I don't go to the Saturday, I'm going Sunday. But I have a 40th anniversary for a club at the Kraken Bar. Solana Beach. So, yeah, Bill's got a couple of things rolling with me, and this is going to be the second weekend in a row for a long time now that we'll be together, because usually, you know, we're not together at certain things.
Right.
But, yeah, a lot of good stuff there. The other thing I was going to talk to you about, I sent you that thing the other day, but I wanted to play this. This will go along with what we were talking about the other night when I sent you that article.
Yep.
This one is called How to Cop Proof Your Cell Phone. And then once this is over, we'll we'll segue into the other one, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'll give you a little background on this, sir, real quick. Okay. What happened was the California Supreme Court recent decision in People v. Diaz that police may lawfully search mobile phones on arrested individuals without first obtaining a search warrant. So with this ruling, we should just call privacy dead, or there's still tricks to keep your personal information safe. So this guy here, his name is Ryan Radia. He's from Competitive Enterprise Institute. He's going to tell you how to cop-proof your cell phone.
The California Supreme Court disappointed many civil liberties advocates when it reached a 5-2 decision in People v. Diaz that police may lawfully search mobile phones on arrested individual persons without first obtaining a search warrant. It's particularly troubling when you think of how much personal information is stored on your phone. In this day and age, it's both your best friend and could be your worst enemy if it gets into the wrong hands. Videos, pictures, emails, text messages, contacts, you name it, all of your communications are in this one little device. So with this ruling, should we just call privacy completely dead? Or are there still a few tricks out there to keep your personal information safe? Earlier, I caught up with Ryan Radia, Associate Director of Technology Studies at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And first, we painted the scenario. Let's say I got pulled over. I got arrested. I had my phone on me. Can cops really just do whatever they want with it?
That's correct. Under the decision 2 weeks ago by the California Supreme Court, along with actually a number of other courts over the last few years, any time...
I just want to let you know that this thing, it was made on January 21st of 2011. The information
okay.
I sent Stacey is three days old. So from Monday of this week to today, the information you're going to talk about is 3 days old. And here we go with Ryan.
When you were arrested by police for any reason, which could include unpaid parking tickets, driving without a seatbelt, reckless driving, the police could take your phone, arrest you, and once you're in custody under arrest behind bars, they can spend hours trying to search through your phone. Anything they find can be used against you in court, can be used for a search warrant.
And that's really scary, because when you think about it, this little tiny thing that I carry around with me, I mean, it holds so much of our personal information these days, right? Every email, every text message, every picture, every video, it's almost kind of scary how much we depend on these little things.
It's incredible how much data we store on our smartphones. And the courts have dealt with things like pagers for a while. Those are usually just a couple of phone numbers. The actual initial court decisions allowed this to happen, dealt with things like a cigarette pack. But today we're talking about a cell phone. Really, the cell phone of the smartphone, like an iPhone, contains your papers and effects of the digital age. The things that you would once store at home in a locked file cabinet in your desk, you don't have your Gmail, your text messages, your images. All this personal information is on your phone, and it's now vulnerable to law enforcement search without a court order, without a warrant at all.
I mean, it's definitely personal information. It's something that I consider private, you know, and it is a catch-22. It's so easy. You can carry it around all the time. But now, at the same time, it's very vulnerable, like you said. But you mentioned a few tricks as to perhaps how you could keep cops from actually getting hands on your phone. So let's say that I'm in my car and they choose to arrest me. What does it mean for the phone to be on my person? You know, if it's on the passenger seat laying there in the center console, does that count?
Unclear. Never really been tested. The technical language is if it's immediately associated with your person, they can search it. No questions asked. No need for what's called exigent circumstances. But if it's in your immediate control but not immediately associated with your person, they can't search it. So the precedents on this are a little murky because it's such a new and untested area. But if it's in your luggage, they probably cannot search it unless they have a serious reason to think you're going to destroy data on it. So probably for a seatbelt or a reckless driving arrest, if it's in your console, glove compartment, luggage, they probably can't search it. If it's in your purse, however, next to you, maybe even...
How many times have you been on a plane and get to your destination and go to open your suitcase?
Yep.
You find a sticker in there from the TSA says they search your luggage.
Yep.
You had it locked. All you gotta do is take a ballpoint pen and push the zipper and then run it back and it locks back up. Makes it look like nobody's ever been in there.
On the seat, in the seat next to you, or definitely in your pocket, then they can search it. So your goal is to get it basically as far away as you can from your person in some separate object. Whether or not...
What about my phone case that covers it, right? That's a separate object, no?
It is. Again, it's a really murky legal definition, whether it's in your grabbing space, on your person, separate from you. In fact, if it's in your trunk, it may even have an entirely different standard for search because you can't access it at all inside your car.
I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot of stories coming out, you know, about different people that had it somewhere else in their car and, you know, what the cops constituted as on your person or not. But what if I have a password on my phone so you can't just push a button and instantly access all the information? Can the officer actually force you to give them your password?
They can ask you, and they can even lie to you. They can say, if you tell us your password, it's going to help you when we go before the judge. Remember, cops, generally speaking, don't have to tell you the truth. However, and this is important, they cannot force you to hand over your password. They may ask, they may try to persuade you, but if they do force you and you hand it over, then they've gone over the line. However, if you voluntarily disclose it, then that's free reign for them. So I would advise everyone, if you're all worried about police looking at your phone, whether or not you committed a crime, which you probably don't know even if you have, given how many there are, but you should definitely password protect your phone. It's a great way to keep it safe.
Well, that's interesting that you mentioned that, because when I was reading your piece, you said that there's a lot of Americans that are probably saying, hey, I have nothing to hide. Go ahead, search my phone. But you said that a lot of us are probably guilty of committing crimes, and we don't even know it. What do you mean by that?
There's so many laws on the books in the United States these days. It's something that's called over-criminalization. Every year, thousands of new offenses are added to the books. A lot of them don't require criminal intent. Simply have no idea you're doing something illegal. And there are these horror stories that have been compiled by organizations like Heritage Foundation. In fact, former Attorney General Ed Meese, who worked under Reagan, not exactly a bleeding heart liberal. In fact, he's a lot more conservative. He's written about this. A girl was arrested on New York City subway for eating a French fry. Arrested. A woman was arrested simply for not filing the right paperwork, a grandmother. So you can be arrested for a whole host of things, for not having the right stamp on a lobster you've imported. It's incredibly easy for the cops to find something you've done that's illegal. Not only that, if they search your phone and they find anything incriminating, such as the guy in California, Diaz, they were found a text message that said 648. That's all it said. The police officer testified that that involved a drug deal, 6 pills for $80. That, along with other factors, was enough for a criminal conviction. So it's really hard to know for sure that there's nothing on your phone that might land you behind bars, given how many laws we have.
That is really crazy. So I guess the number one piece of advice that you're giving people is to actually go ahead and encrypt their phones. Isn't that right?
That's right. It's really easy to do that with your laptop, which I recommend everybody do because it's so easy. Just Google the phrase TrueCrypt, C-R-I-P-T. It's a great piece of software that lets you encrypt your laptop. Police cannot break it. It's very robust. Problem is, on phones, you really want that same level of encryption because police can't hack into it. The problem with a password-protected phone that's not encrypted is that there are these tools that police can plug into your phone. In 5 minutes, all the data is off your phone on their computer, and then they have free reign to search it. So encrypting it is the only really surefire way to make sure police can't access it. And as I said earlier, they cannot force you to compel to turn over the key. No matter what they say, you have the right to remain silent. They cannot force you to compel to disclose any information under the Fifth Amendment. So you really want to encrypt your phone. The problem is not a lot of phones actually let you encrypt it. It's not an easy thing. It's not a common feature. As I mentioned, BlackBerry is probably a leader in this field, in large part because corporations, their main customers, really care about security. iPhones, not so easy to encrypt it.
Well, that's no good. I think maybe I need to throw out my phone. Well, I mean, you know, this is something that might even be coming in front of the Supreme Court at some time, but it's definitely, you know, good for people to know about what they can and cannot do, what they should and shouldn't do. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
There you go. Let me.
I think that I knew about the encryption stuff, but I still had wondered if you could do it to the phones, and my phone you can't do it to. But I guess other phones you can. But encryption, that, you know, I do that stuff online too. So just another small way to try to protect yourself.
Right. go ahead and, since you're my roving reporter today.
Okay.
Huh?
You want me to read the article, correct?
Please.
Okay. All right. San Diego, Wednesday, U.S. Supreme Court ruling stemming from a 2009 San Diego case that police must get a warrant before searching the contents of a smartphone seized from arrestees were called revolutionary by the National Legal Director of the American Civil Liberties Union. 5 years ago, a San Diego police officer seized reputed gang member David Riley's cell phone and found images that depicted gang activity. An attorney argued that the search was unconstitutional, but a judge rejected the argument. In its ruling Wednesday, the Supreme Court held that smartphones contain a wealth of personal data and should be treated the same as any other physical evidence or weapons seized during arrest. By recognizing that the digital revolution has transformed our expectations of privacy, today's decision is itself revolutionary and will help protect the privacy rights of all Americans, said Stephen R. Shapiro, National Legal Director of the ACLU. We have entered a new world, but as the court today recognized, our old world values still apply and limit the government's ability to rummage through our intimate details of our private lives. State authorities argued that if police had to wait for a warrant to search a cell phone, evidence could be erased remotely. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the High Court's opinion, "Modern cell phones are not just another technological convenience. With all they contain and all they may reveal, the hold for many Americans, the privacies of life, the fact that technology now allows an individual to carry such information in his hand does not make the information any less worthy of the protection for which the founders fought." Lieutenant Kevin Mayer, a spokesman for the San Diego Police Department, said that the agency was preparing a direct to send to all its personnel outlining requirements for searching mobile phones based on the High Court's decision. Obtaining search warrants is an investigative tool, and cell phones would simply be incorporated into this process, the mayor said. That's it.
Did you get the other article?
No, this is the only one I got.
Okay. I thought I sent you both.
No, all I got is that one.
Okay. Hang on a second. Yeah, and what is here, the rest of it, I did send it to you.
You did? I don't got it.
It's okay.
I'm in my email. I'm in it right now.
Okay. Let me see. Did you get that link?
Well, the one I just read came with a link. That's how I had to turn it up.
Yeah, well, yeah, but if you click that link, there's another story there.
Okay, let me see.
And I think they've taken it down. Yeah,
Yeah, because I was going to say the only article that's ruling up is the one I just read.
Okay, I have it here. Hold on.
All right.
Yeah, so it what we're talking about is this information that came out from the Supreme Court in... Yeah, it's a lot of crazy shit going on out there if you don't pay attention. Okay, there we go. This is part two. In San Diego, Wednesday, I'll get it from here, but San Diego, Wednesday's U.S. Supreme Court ruling stemming from the 2009 case, which is the case they were talking about in that video about how to cop-proof your phone. Police must get a warrant before searching the contents of smartphones seized from arrestees. It's called Revolutionary by the National Legal Director of the American, or the ACLU. 5 years ago, a San Diego police officer seized reputed gang members' cell phone and found images that depicted gang activity. And the attorney argued... In a ruling Wednesday, the Supreme Court held that smartphones contain a wealth of personal data and should be treated the same as other physical evidence of weapons seized. By recognizing that the digital revolution is transformed our expectations of privacy to today's decision itself is revolutionary and will help protect the privacy rights of all Americans. And hold on 1 second.
Okay.
George, you heard about that ruling, right? You heard about that ruling, right?
Yep. Yeah, they're trying to snatch up the phones. I mean, even if you get pulled over just for a driving infraction, and if you're in a drug area or you know if they get a hair across their ass, they want to grab your phone and see who you're talking to, and you know, like they say, you know, some people snap some pictures and whatever. They just trying to intrude in your life any way they can. But, you know,
according to the Supreme Court now, they can't do it without a warrant, period. That's for all the United States.
Yeah, but what they'll end up doing is they'll seize your phone, they'll fucking lock you up or something, whether it's under false pretense, until they can get that warrant. This way you don't have access.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, I say more times than nothing. That's what they'll do. They'll make it so you can't, you know, or they question you, or they come up with some bullshit story. And you know, if it's like me, well, fuck it, let's push them buttons 10 times. You know, we know we can screw them up a little bit that way. You know, if it's evidence against them.
But they can't take it now.
Oh, they can take it, yes, but they can't go into it.
They can't go into it.
Read it good.
As of the other day, from the Supreme Court, they cannot take it. They have to have a warrant to search it, because the evidence can be erased remotely. They can't take it.
I was understanding that to mean they can't search it.
No.
Yeah, I could be wrong.
They cannot take it, and they can't, because the evidence they think they're looking for could be erased remotely. They can't take it. So Robert said, modern cell phones are just another technological convenience. With all they contain and all that they may reveal, they hold for many Americans the privacies of life. The fact that technology now has allowed an individual to carry such information in his hand does not make the information any less worthy of the protection for which the founders fought. Mayor, the spokesman for San Diego PD, said the agency was preparing a directive to send to all its personnel outlining requirements for searching mobile phones based on a high court's decision. Obtaining search warrants is an investigative tool, and cell phones will simply be incorporated into this process. They cannot take it until they have a warrant.
Yeah. Don't worry, ma'am.
No, they can't take it unless they have a warrant. The guy just told you right there, it contains all your personal information, can't do it. They have to have a warrant first. Now, if they arrest you and take all your property, it goes into an envelope, and they can't touch it until they get a search warrant.
Yeah. That's like what they had to do with me. They got a search warrant the next day.
Okay, but they have to.
But in my case, I know they tried to get into it then. You know, which they'll try to do it. They'll try to do anyways.
Yeah,
you know,
they're going to try, but then they're opening Pandora's box. Because basically, you can sue the police department as well as the arresting officer.
Yeah, the officers are not exempt.
That's what I'm saying. You can sue everybody. If they do that to you, because when they take your property, they put it in an envelope, they seal it, and they put it away. If they get a search warrant, they have to take you physically to that envelope, open it in your presence after they serve you the warrant. The only option you have at that point is to request your attorney be present. So when they take all your stuff, you make it aware that you want your attorney present when they do this. It's your right. Everything goes smoothly. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. You got me thinking now over here.
Hey.
Like they got a warrant for my phone for the next day.
Yeah. But they didn't know about this decision. Didn't come out till Monday.
Yeah. So they have to physically do this in front of you.
That's correct. According to the info I have, that's correct.
Right. I didn't read it all, and I just heard they got me kind of shut down a little bit. I was thinking that was just good. I know that they were trying to seize, grab your phone. If your phone was in reach of you and you got pulled over, like even just pulled over for something stupid, they were trying to, get into people's phones and get into people's business. You know, I didn't realize it went that deep, which is great. But how are they gonna how can you prove anything, really?
What do you mean, how can you prove anything?
Like if they fucked with it, in my case. When you're locked up in a cell, you're until they come out, they can do whatever they want. They can put it in a new bag and, they can fuck with your phone.
I don't know about you, but when I quote-unquote happened to get arrested,
yep.
And when I gave all my stuff in, they gave me a receipt and I signed it back at when they put the tape on, I signed it and the cops signed it.
Well, I see. They don't give you the fucking option over here. They throw you in the cell and they come back with a computer generated paper, cigarettes, phone, two cards, whatever, And I mean, you do. I think there is something that you sign, a paper that you sign, but then. I mean, you don't get to sign. You don't get to sign the bag or anything. Yeah, that'd be nice. They
mm-hmm.
don't afford you that right over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that it should. That should be chain of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Chain of custody. That's something that I was trying to get on my phone last time when I went down there to with Maya from Bay State. It's on the video there when they first handed us the phone. We were wanting that paper. We requested. I gave them a verbal request for that paper. They should have just been able to go in the other room, make me a copy, because I wanted to see where my phone was. Who had it, when, and, oh, no, you can't have that. I got to put in a written request. right. That's okay. No, they say I have to put in a written request. That's illegal. Mm-hmm. I gave you a verbal request. That is perfectly legitimate. Mm-hmm. So, and well, so you kind of fight the system. I mean, the ruling is good, but really proving at times once the shit's on the other side of a door, unless you've signed it as you did, you know.
Uh-huh.
We, you know, I don't know. Still don't have any trust. Don't have any trust on anything on the other side of that deal. As soon as you walk in them doors, you're fucked.
Yeah. No, as soon as you obviously haven't had the article I wrote about how to stay out of the back seat.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's on the blog. Go in the box, search box and type in how to stay out of the back seat. It'll come up.
Yeah, I'm on somebody's, I'm trying to finagle my way around this tablet here tonight, and I need my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shoot.
But, yeah, it's kind of a crazy day for everybody, too. I need to, probably going to go another 10 or 15 minutes, and then I'm going to call it a night because I got to get up early. But, what's up, Nora?
Hey. Guess what happened here? I don't know if you were aware of it or not or if you read about it. They arrested three or four men in connection with trafficking children here.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They made a big bust.
Good.
That's what I think. Sorry, I've been kind of like absent. I've had people around me, and I'm trying to be in the quietest place, which is in my garage right now. I've got four kids running around.
Mm-hmm.
How's the weather?
It's good.
It always is.
Mid to high 70s. Partly cloudy. Like right now, I got the June gloom rolling in off the ocean.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I miss California a little bit. Just a little bit.
Not me. The only reason I go back to Chicago every now and then is to see relatives and get food.
Yeah, I was out in Thousand Oaks there for a while. It was all right, but yeah, I like the seasons, you know, not the rainy season, the mudslide, and earthquake season.
Mm-hmm.
I remember doing plumbing. We're about 45 feet under this house. It's supposed to have 18 inches clearance, and it was all of a sudden it felt like a tractor trailer truck hit the side, hit a speed bump in front of the house. Boom. You want to see two fat guys trying to get out from under that house right quick. They ain't even worried about the spiders.
Yeah. Just a lot of craziness going on everywhere.
Yeah.
That's true.
But Nora, I saw Bill today.
How's he doing?
He's holding his own.
I have to call him and say hi to him.
not till next week. He won't be in the shop till Sunday.
Okay.
But, if you call early.
Yeah, I will.
By 10:30, they got the little biker church going on outside and a few other things going on, so he's running around like a chicken with his head cut off.
Well, I can give him a call Wednesday. That'll give me an excuse to get something from him.
Nice. Well, you have to call him on Monday because Mondays he's there because nobody has appointments on Mondays.
Okay.
Yeah. You got the number still?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I had to make sure on my contacts because I have a different phone now.
I'll send it to you.
Okay. Thank you.
But, yeah. Just, I haven't heard that story about that. I just talked to my brother a little while ago. He didn't tell me about it either.
Yeah, it was on the news for about five minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I had to
elaborate more.
Yeah, I had a cousin that turned 47, and they don't know if it was diabetic shock, of what, I don't know, so I'm still waiting to find out what that happened
I'm
today.
I'm sorry, I hope everything goes fine.
Yeah, a few issues going on there, but it was one of my cousins that I wasn't close to.
Right.
But, so it's, I thought those guys were all going to outlive me.
You never know.
That's it.
Diabetics can, as long as they, you know, follow their thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, yeah, if I knew I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself.
I hear that.
You're fine. Yeah. There's nothing to worry about.
Hey, we're above ground. We're breathing.
Exactly.
We're pissing people off.
Yeah. Hey George, are you on? Are you on your Facebook page?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna send. I just shared something. I think you'll get a kick out of when you see it.
Yeah.
Well, what I'll do is sometime this evening I'll send you that article in the message, so, and then that way you can read it.
Okay.
But like I said, it was one of those where it was a big moment for 5 minutes, and then it hasn't been talked about since. You know how it is here.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just got a message from my friend Emilio about thing related tonight, which is probably be on about 15 minutes east of me.
Oh, no. It's already on here. Recording.
I'm saying it's already on.
Yeah, it's when, come on, 9 o'clock Eastern.
I was kind of
watching that.
it's going to be a good show tonight.
Yep. Well, all the shows, because I started recording it, you know, the series from when it first started, or the pilot, and wow, it's amazing.
See that video yet, George?
No, nothing's come through over here.
All right, hang on. Yeah, I got, I don't know what happened, but for 2 days, I was locked out.
From the show?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, still trying to figure it out, but that's why I said I was going to cut it early today, because I got to get up early.
Yeah, I know.
But, yeah, I would do a little more research on that. Go to the
blog,
George. It's called Washington, and it's an important ruling.
Yeah, everybody, I got a call the other morning, and... my friend Jess here at the salon, she called me because one of her clients, and everybody, all of her clients and all that stuff, they're all like, right in the case. Everybody is trying to help or do whatever, you know. You get a bunch of these blue hairs, and I guess one of them called up, hey, tell George this, you know. I thought it was sweet. It's like a 70, 75-year-old lady.
Well, the, you know, the 6 o'clock news is going to be like, good evening, it's 6 o'clock, and here's what we want you to think.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I tell you, like, mainstream media over here, everybody was hot for this in the beginning. And then, you know, right now, I got to cover the debates, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. See you the fuck later. That's okay. I'll get things done. I don't need, you know, it's nice to have it out there, in everybody's face. But when it does get real interesting again, don't come to me wanting a fucking story.
Yeah. Did you get that yet?
I'm trying to, I'm, like I said, I guess somebody's laptop, the thing lit up. I went to see what it was, and still trying to figure out this thing. Come on.
Alright.
Wait, let me see if I get it on my phone.
What was that?
What?
I don't know. It sounded like somebody went outside and came back.
I'm sitting there. I see the video now.
No, I'm outside. So there's traffic.
I sent you the video.
You sent me a video, too?
Me, too.
Okay.
Nice.
Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
So 925.
Talk about a set of hangers.
Yeah, 925. This is Bob out here in California. Hey, George.
What's going on?
No, I'm not. I'm just listening to you guys, man. Listen to the show.
Hey, where are you calling from?
This is your buddy from California, man. The guy that's been Facebooking me back and forth about your case and Mr. Racine's inability to keep a chain of custody going.
Is this Robert? Right.
Yeah.
What's up, brother? What's up? I'm still getting a run around here, and it's crazy when the head guy, he's just like the mayor. They're all spineless, and it's just going to take its course. I've got a state rep over here who I'm putting together a packet for the attorney general's office, and she just, you know, she said she can't go out on the front line with me, but she will call them and see to it that it doesn't just go by the wayside. They will look into it, and that's all I can do, you know.
Well, George, I mean, there's two things there. You know, one, are you familiar with common law at all? I mean, you know, Barboza was definitely wrongdoer. He definitely deprived you of your freedom, your property, and, you know, you can go two ways. You can go statutorily after these folks, or you can go common law, which holds the man acting in the capacity as a police officer responsible for his actions. And also, you know, Chief Racine is vicariously liable for all those under his supervision. I mean, Black's Law Dictionary, it's just a wonderful thing. You know, it's full of information. And so, you know, George, don't, you know, I'm just throwing this stuff out there for you.
Yep.
But, you know, I broke my back a few years ago, and I spent a lot of time doing a lot of research, and basically, you know, all these police departments are acting under the color of law. They're private agencies. They're not public agencies. They're private agencies acting under the color of law.
Well,
and the only reason they can get...
Go ahead.
The only reason they get anything from us is because they've done it by coercion, deception, and fraud.
I had put some phone calls in to the FBI, And I got a call back one day. You know, guy says, hey, just happened to be in the neighborhood. I guess he had been by my house, but I'm down at my friend's salon here. This is like my office. And he says, mind if I come by? Hell no. Well, he parks a pickup truck across the street, and him and some other, there's two guys that get out. This guy's, it's like, wow, one of these guys look real familiar, and I just couldn't place the face. So they come in the salon, and they're sitting there, and he's asking me what's going on. I had my little battle bag. I've got my whole case. I mean, you just look at the paperwork, and I don't know if you've seen the latest about the did you see the return on the Ken Bell and Associates, the forensic scan?
Well, I saw that, you know, basically that they had said that it was, you know, erased while in police custody. It basically wasn't you.
Yeah,
are you also familiar? Hey, George, I'm sorry, man. Yeah. There's also technology out there that even if your phone was wiped, you should be able to get it back. I mean, I've seen on Cop Block where some people have gotten back their stuff that was wiped out and erased. And, hey, you know, what better than the guy sitting there that's trying to, you know, erase your stuff and have him pop up on your screen?
Well, if it hadn't been reset after it was wiped, when it was reset, it overwrites everything.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, I'm not savvy enough to know about, you know, that kind of stuff. I just know that they have in the past in other situations were able to, you know, retrieve property retrieve digital information, but I don't know how.
Yeah, I've got a friend of mine's brother, somebody that's going to be in the Black and Blue documentary. His brother is big into the computers and the forensic work. And like he said, had it not been reset after it was wiped, I could have gotten everything.
It does leave a lot to question for them to say, oh, it's no big deal. I mean, you know, that's what you say. What else is going on in your private corporation? You know,
absolutely. That's the big. That's what I've really been pushing. If something is so as minute as a video of a cop screwing off is going to go missing, what about something that's real important? You know, and these people around here, it's taking time. You know, but they see right now, well, it's all, you know, at first they were seeing, well, it's only this guy. It's only this one person that's really, you know, that's bitching. And, well, he must have been up to something or whatever. But the more and more these people are hearing about it, the more and more they're realizing, you know, they could be next. You know, this isn't a color crime. Yeah, it's a color crime. It's a color of blue. That's it. But when it comes to the people, they don't care. It does, you know, it doesn't matter if it was, you know, black, white, whatever. You know, young, old. You know, if you've got something on them in any way, you know, they're gonna do what they're gonna do to protect themselves, and that's okay. I'm persistent enough, and I will prevail. You know, right now I haven't filed suit yet. People say, oh, you should be filed signing. As soon as I file them papers, they go on to severe lockdown. And I know they follow my Facebook page. They're probably listening. They know, but they don't know what I'm going to do, you know. But until somebody is held accountable, I'm not done. I am far from done. Like I said, you could offer me $1 million tomorrow. Yeah, George, take this $1 million and just leave it alone. Fuck you, Fall River. You know, I don't care. If I would rather take $10 and somebody really pay for it, just like they were trying to make me pay for it. You know.
Well, you know. The Barboza definitely, you know, deprived you of your property. You know, that's a deprivation of rights. He definitely deprived you of your freedom. Basically, if you did not submit to this man's actions, you know, you were for fear of your own life, right? If you didn't submit to this guy, what's he going to do, beat you down?
I was laughing at this guy. I smoked a joint about a half hour before, thank God. I was sitting there just chilling. I feed the birds there every day. His son of a bitch, when he put the cuffs on me, I laughed at him the whole time. He was pissed off. He was so pissed off. He yanked me up out of the seat, threw me face down. I'm handcuffed in the front. I'm not putting up a fight with him. I'm not going to give you any reason, I laughed. I laughed at him the whole time. But had I showed any kind of aggression, I'll guarantee you, who knows what would have happened.
And well, I can say this. These guys, they have these police agents, these revenue agents, they have a duty and obligation to protect those that are in their custody and to look out for the welfare of those that are in their custody. And those that sit around and let other cops abuse, when cops sit around and they watch other cops abuse people, they're guilty. They're guilty just by association, okay? You've got to stand up for these people. If you think it's okay to kick somebody in the head while you've got them handcuffed or smack them in the face, you are mentally unstable and you are a danger to the public that you serve, and you should be removed from your capacity because you're a danger to the people that you serve.
Oh, this the chief of police should be removed. The if you've seen the videos that we posted, the cop pulling out a switchblade in the evidence room, in the interview room, when he handed me my phone. Pulls out a damn switchblade, a little spring loaded to open up the evidence bag. When I called him on it, he ran out of the room. He come back with a pair of scissors, big bright blue handles on them. I was surprised he didn't have school scissors. You know.
Right, but somebody like you or me, what would we get? We would get the full extent of the law because this guy would definitely want to try to enforce it upon us. Badges do not grant these guys extra rights. If his what he had was illegal, then he should definitely be held accountable for that because he's the one that's voluntarily being consensual to what's going on there with the Fall Rivers Police Department.
You know, that's why I'm trying to get the Attorney General. Even if they say no, well, somebody else. I'll just go to somebody else. I'm not done. I will not stop. And you know, there's a lot of other people. I had somebody come walking up to me. I was standing in the doorway the other day, and we had fire department and cops around because somebody was hauling out asbestos out of a house next door doing it illegal. Some guy parks his car. He comes walking over, right, you know, by everybody, and comes. He's got his hand extended. He's George Thompson. He's my God. He's, you don't know me, but he says, you don't know how many people you got behind you. He says, you know, that are looking up to you. It's like, well, get behind me. You know, you say you're behind me when it comes time because I want to get a couple hundred people together and a little protest and out by City Hall. And I have checked into it, Phil. There is no permit needed as long as we're not blocking doorways, which the place that I want to be is, it's a big plaza. Won't obstruct the sidewalk or nothing. And this is right from City Council's mouths, you know, because they're not too happy with what's going on. They're not too happy with this fucking spineless mayor that we have over here, too.
Well, one of the things that I keep seeing on Cop Block is, you know, a lot of people are, you know, yeah, sue the bastards, sue the bastards, sue the bastards, and then you hear, oh, you know, the taxpayers are paying this $200 million lawsuit, this $250,000 lawsuit. You know, if you don't, the way around that, so that the taxpayer doesn't have to freaking foot that bill, is to file a common law claim against the wrongdoer, Barboza, for causing harm or trespass against you, because then he's not, he's... is a man he has no protection from the law. You know, he doesn't have police immunity. He's a man acting the capacity as a police officer that has done you harm and wrong, and it comes out of his pocket. It doesn't come out of the police department. It doesn't come out of the insurance. It comes out of Barboza's pocket. And when this starts to happen, this is when these police officers will either they'll start to change their behavior, because hey, man, I don't know how much a cop makes in a day, but you start suing these guys for what they make in a day, they're gonna think differently about what they do.
If they violate your rights,
have your camera on. Go ahead, George. I'm sorry.
If they violate your rights, you have the option. You can sue everybody, the city, the mayor, the chief of police, the officers. You can sue everybody.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What I really want to try, the chief, Barboza was exonerated, Bob, when I get the final report from the chief of police's office. He was exonerated for the arrest because their excuse is an independent magistrate. What they do is they fill out the complaint form. They hand it to a magistrate for a magistrate's hearing. The magistrate looks at what they call the fucking story, the thing they should have said once upon a time on it. And, the facts. And if they feel it warrants it, then they pass it over to the district attorney's office. They issue the complaint. Now, I am in the process of putting together a complaint against Detective Sergeant Kevin Medeiros, Fall River Police Department. This is a gentleman that did the forensic scan that on January 8th, this is the one that Ken Bell says reset the phone. Phone was reset while it was in his custody.
Imagine that.
Now, I want to try to file a criminal complaint on him because on January 8th, he knew he reset my phone. But his supplemental report wasn't written until about the third week of January. And he's got it. He lies right from the rip. First paragraph states he could not hook up the cell phone to the Cellebrite logical analyzer. If you want to do some digging, Bob, Cellebrite logical analyzer. Check out the site. And my phone was an iPhone 3GS. You can go right through that site, and it'll tell you. You know, because he's saying he couldn't hook it up to that machine because he didn't have the password. That's a lie. If you go to that site, it shows you what you can extract if you have a password. It shows what you can extract if you don't have a password.
Hey, fellas, I'm gonna have to cut this short. So I invite you guys back Tuesday. But I'm going to let Everlast take us out with what it's like. And I thank you guys for coming in.
Thanks very much for calling, sorry, but give us a call on Tuesday night, tell your friends, get everybody else on, whether they sit back and listen, it's about everybody, that's why we're here. All right, good night, fellas. Good night, fellas.
Everlast.